passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. I want to apologize last week due to some communication goths, which I take full responsibility for all of. My guest, poor guest, who I have been in touch with and is going to reschedule, called in, and I had been arranging, as I had a personal emergency come up, to have Matt do the show, who's on with me this week, but I didn't pull the final level, so he didn't think I needed him. So not Matt's fault, not my guest's fault, not Ohm Time's fault. Dr. Kevin screwed up. It happens. You can mark the day on your calendar. Sometimes when emergencies are happening, we don't always think clearly. But I am here and alive and well and back to here to, bring love, light, and with just a wee bit of sarcasm into your life. Here again on Ohm Times, where every first Thursday of the month, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and I will take you on a journey through the spiritual lens of things that are going on in the world today. They might be big news stories, they might be personal picadillos, but things that are happening in the world today, and we try to give you a little spiritual twist on it, perhaps, at least some insight and guidance. And in all of this, we give you a forum. And in that forum, you can share with the world. You can share by calling in. We are a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. That, again, is 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You will see today's show listed at the top. And if you should come in and leave a comment, we will share it on air. So now I'm going to introduce the one and only unleashed version of Matt Connerton, who just came off of his Drive Time show that you can hear Monday through Friday at 95.3 if you are in Manchester, New Hampshire, or you can hear it on the internet, or you can go to ipmnation.com, where you can listen and interact with Matt, or listen to back shows, or listen to my shows, or go to Dr. Kevin and Friends, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, gonna-drive-you-crazy, psycho, internet TV network channel. With all that said, Matt, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
What was that dinging? I like the dinging you were talking about, something, and all of a sudden I heard a ding. Did you hear it? Maybe it was just on my end.
No, I think the dinging was on my end. I think something, some piece of my machinery dang in the background. You know how machinery does that sometimes?
I just thought it was so perfectly timed.
Well, you know, it was, wasn't it?
That's why I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad that you did. So anyways, Mr. Matt, so if people want to listen to you on air besides ipmnation.com, is there someplace else they can listen and interact with you Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on WMNH 95.3 FM. So if you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, you can hear me that way or watch me in Manchester on channel 97 Comcast, for those of you who still have something called cable. But of course, you can also stream it at WMNHradio.org, where the shows are archived as well. So even if you don't get to hear me live, you can access the show anytime on demand. And when I am on live, I'm also on via Facebook Live on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page, which is how a lot of people like to interact with the show. We're in an era where a lot of people like to participate via social media instead of calling, although I do love when people call, but Yeah, very often people will just go into the Facebook live chat room and express their opinions there and ask questions and so forth. So there's many ways to listen and or watch and or participate.
Well, and, you know, we try to make it as easy as possible because, you know, life is about showing up. And so
yes,
we try to give people a chance to show up. And
there's that ding again.
I know, and I can't figure out what's dinging. I don't think it's the phone I'm on because, you know, I call in on my iPhone. I don't think it's the phone I'm on, and I have everything in my life muted that I know of. But, you know, sometimes you have something open somewhere, and it's minimized, and you don't. So I'll continue to hunt for it.
It's good that it's a good sound. It's a pleasant sound. It's not like it's an annoying sound. It's like you just said something really profound or something, and then you're a ding. It's wonderful. I like it.
Oh, well, then, you know, I won't go out of my way to search too hard. How's that?
Yeah, I think it's grand.
Oh, okay. Hey, well.
Not a word I use lightly.
If you think it's grand, then it will stay.
Awesome.
I will not interfere with it. I will let you have your grand experience with my ding-a-ling bell, wherever it may be coming from. What? That didn't. You're laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me? What did I say?
I would never. I'm laughing with you, Dr. Kevin. I would never laugh at you.
Oh, okay. Because it sounded like you were laughing at me. So let's go ahead
laughing
and get...
with you, sir.
Okay. So I have a very quote-unquote maybe unspiritual conversation to have on my spiritual show. Or maybe it's a very spiritual show. Maybe we can make it a very spiritual conversation. I'm good with all of that. Here is the thing, and you know how every other show I always do a hot topic. I don't usually do a hot topic here. Usually we just go over different topics. But on my other three shows a month or four shows a month, depending on whether we have four or five Thursdays, I will always start it with a hot topic, something that makes me feel warm and fuzzy or gets me hot under the collar. And so
yes,
as we do that, you have been on the receiving end of lots of hot under the collars because there was a period where I was doing a lot of those. And then I got really good at doing warm and fuzzies because I thought that I liked that. It's like, oh, that's the energy I want to put out. So this is a hot under the collar, though. When was the last time you went to a doctor's office, Matt?
For myself?
Well, for yourself or for anyone else?
Oh, well, for anyone else, just recently. I had to bring Jenny to an appointment.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. When you go and you bring Jenny to appointments, or you've gone to appointments to yourself, what would you say that their being on time ratio is? How often are they on time? If they say be there at 4:45 and you're there at 4:40, are they walking you in the door between 4:45 and 4:50?
Not typically. I have seen some surprising instances of punctuality, but not very many.
Okay. So my husband wanted me to go with him today for an appointment that he was having because I do all of the cooking. And this is to do with, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic and nutrition and diet and stuff like this. And it's very helpful for me because I would ask questions he never would. Because, you know, he doesn't cook. And so all this stuff. So I rearranged my schedule to run over there to be there at 4:45. I'm there actually at 4:35 in case we might get in early. I mean, you know, I'm an optimist. Mm-hmm. To meet with the nutritionist at the doctor's office. And we walk in the door at 4. So we're there. We're sitting there. And at 10 after 5, we get greeted into the thing. And I have to be back to be on my radio show. So I go in like a machine gun and go, okay, this is what you need to know. What do you have to tell me? Send it to me email. I got to go now. And I leave. It's because they were 25 minutes late.
Yeah.
I'm not just surprised. I don't think the American public should have to put up with that anymore. It sends a very disrespectful message that my time is not as important as yours. And I really think that, you know, there has to be, I mean, if my clients showed up and I kept them waiting for 25, 30 minutes, I would be losing clients. And it's not like it's an emergency every now and then. Last week I had an emergency. I screwed up. I didn't get in touch with you and say, yes, I need you to pick up the show. My fault. I didn't get on air on time, you know, because of this, because of the personal thing going on. But that is not the rule. It's the exception. And the rule is the medical community is disrespectful to its clientele. It's disrespectful to its patients. We're treated like we have nothing better to do than to have you overbook your schedule. We used to put up with it on the airlines, and now that's started to go over. And we've started to challenge that. And now airlines are starting to get a lot of heat when they overbook and when you have to move heaven and earth because they're of their greediness. Hotels have done the same thing. Why is it okay for a doctor's office to keep you waiting 20, 30, 40, an hour sometimes before your appointment? Why should we tolerate it? Go.
So I think that let me play devil's advocate, because I agree with you. It is, of course, very frustrating. But I think that I suspect, and I've never worked in the medical industry, but I suspect one of the difficulties is, and why this may happen, is that when these appointments are being scheduled, nobody really knows how long an appointment is going to take. Like if you're, you know, like doing something like what you do or what I do, like if I schedule someone for a hypnotherapy session, I know it's going to be about an hour. Sometimes it may run a little bit long, but not much. But I think in the medical field, you know, depending on what happens, what transpires over the course of an appointment, I can see where appointments may often last longer than the amount of time that was originally allotted for an appointment. So I can see where it would just be very, very difficult to accurately predict and schedule a day of appointments, because you just don't know how long an appointment is going to take. Some appointments may be very quick, but, you know, you may have an appointment that you thought was going to be quick if you're a doctor, but then, you know, there's complications. The patient has questions, or there's something else going on medically that you've discovered over the course of the appointment or whatever. So I'm guessing it's probably a much trickier thing in the medical field than in other fields, like what you do or like what I do, for example.
So taking the fact of and this is a logic question today, and I would love to hear from our audience, what do you think? Should the medical profession be more responsible with its time? I mean, you don't have an emergency every appointment. You don't have an emergency every day at your doctor's office. I mean, I was going to a doctor's office to meet with a nutritionist today. If you have, but the whole air of a doctor's office is suck it up and sit there. It's just the general energy of the office. If your office is always running a half an hour to an hour late, you need to extend your appointment times by 15 minutes. If you extended every appointment time you schedule by 15 minutes, then you wouldn't be having that. I mean, you would have your occasional emergency, but it's a daily occurrence. Talk to anybody. You can't tell
me
that.
You know, it's funny.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny you bring this up, because I have a very specific, clear memory of when I was a kid going to a medical appointment with my mother, and we sat there for a really long time. And I remember asking my mother why that was, why it was taking so long, and she said that and I don't know how true this is or if it's still true today. This was when I was a child, but she said that part of what happens is they overbook. They'll actually kind of similar to what airlines do now that I'm thinking about it. They'll overbook, they'll book more than one person for an appointment. So that way, if there's a no-show, which does happen, you know, none of that time set aside for those appointments ends up being wasted. You know, if one person doesn't show up, that's okay. Somebody else will show up for that time. And then if they both show up, well, then everything just gets pushed back. But that's just how it goes. That's what she explained to me then. And I don't know how accurate that explanation was, if that's really how some doctor's offices operate. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. But I remember her telling me that.
Well, you know, one of the things that we hear as a constant, something that we hear as a constant complaint is how little time people get with their doctors anymore, right? The insurance has you as on a conveyor belt. You're in and out in 15 minutes, you know, blah, 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 blah. I hear doctors complain about it. I hear nurses, I hear patients, you know, complain about how much this is. And so it's like, how much can we squeeze in? But what you just said to me still says, I, as the doctor, say that my time is more valuable. So if you have to wait for an hour or an hour and a half in my waiting room because I've overbooked and everyone has showed up, that's okay. So it's still disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's saying your time is more valuable than mine. What makes your time more valuable than mine? What makes my time something that you get to play with? It's
right.
Just rude.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
You know, I get. And if somebody came out and said to me, I'm so sorry, we're running late, we had an emergency, blah, 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 that would be one thing. But it's very casual. Oh, hi, sorry, I'm running late.
Right.
Come on.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the practical, intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. I'm here this week with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're putting stuff through a spiritual lens. And, you know, we invite you to call in at 202-570-7057 or to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You will see at the top of that, and make sure you like the page. I'm a likable guy after all, aren't I, Matt? Lie, lie. Aren't I a likable guy?
Yes.
Matt? Yeah, good, good. Thank you. And so, anyways, you know, we want to hear what you have to say, weigh in on what we're talking about, or bring your own subject to the table, and we'll be happy to discuss it. We were talking about how that is, you know, is it disrespectful and rude that oftentimes, and when you're dealing with the medical field, they think that it's okay to overbook or to make you wait. And, you know, again, if there's a life and death situation, I would understand that. But I don't think that they happen every day, every time every American goes to a doctor's office. And I think that a high percentage of those Americans would tell you, yes, they wait and wait and wait. And so I now want to try to discuss this from a little bit from a spiritual perspective. I wasn't sure I was going to find one, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to try this on. I'm going to mount this horse up and take it for a ride and see what you think. How's that, Matt?
Mount up that horse.
No. I will. Thank you for asking. but from a spiritual perspective, we are battling on several fronts these days with the inequities that occur in day-to-day humanity. The authoritarians who sometimes got out of hand. Now, I'm not picking on any one group when I say this, but we know between body cameras on policemen, between people getting caught literally with their pants down sometimes. We know when things get exposed, when whistleblowers make things known, when we get access to secret memos at high corporate levels that they knew that whatever they were going to do were going to kill so many people, but they were going to make so many millions of dollars, so what was okay? Before they'd have to withdraw the drug from the market. Okay, but what we're seeing is we're seeing this pushback. And we're seeing a pushback that says, because you have a title, or because maybe you make more money. Remember when the last time I was on your show and that that psycho called in and said, well, you guys don't make as much money as Donald Trump has made in his lifetime, so that means you can't criticize him.
I remember that vividly. Yes, I do.
Yes. You know, and the bottom line really is that all people really do deserve to be treated equally and respectfully. And because you mm-hmm. have an MD or a JD, just because you may be a police officer. Now, there's some great police officers. There's some great teachers. There's some great people, both in a traditional and in an alternative medical fields. Yeah. And, you know, I'm all about alternative health and wellness. But sometimes you need to see a doctor. Sometimes you need to go to a hospital. Sometimes you need to get the bone set. I am not this completely anti-Western medication, medicine guy. But I think that there is a shift where more and more people are pushing back about getting treated like substandard, getting treated like second-class citizens, and saying, no, you don't have a right to act inappropriately just because you have this title in front of your name or these initials behind your name. No, you still need to be respectful. Do you think more of that's going on, or did I just accidentally eat some bad like mushrooms in my salad? What do you think, Matt?
Well, I'm sure it varies. I have seen some doctor's offices that do a pretty good job of running on a schedule. I know the eye doctor that I go to is actually very good about that. But I do, again, I can't help but reflect on my mother's attitudes about this when I was a kid, because like I said, I vividly recall what she told me about, you know, how they overbook. And also, too, I remember her having conversations with other adults that I would witness where she would kind of say some of the same things that you're saying, that, you know, that there's an arrogance in the medical profession and that they do think that their patient's time isn't isn't valuable and so forth. So I haven't seen a lot of that myself, but I can tell you, I do remember kind of growing up with, you know, hearing my mother complain about that a lot.
Well, and again, I want to take this even larger than simply the medical field. I think that people are more willing to challenge. I think that we have seen in the last, you know, I'm going to say the last decade, but I think it's less than that, that people in positions of authority and power are getting called out more, that just because of who they are, it's not okay. Whether that's a police officer, you know, and again, this is not all police officers are bad. This is not all teachers are bad. This is no black and white hat thing. I'm just saying, you know, that many times there are people that rise to positions of power or authority that misuse and abuse it and feel like they're above either the law or they're above having, you know, they look down at other people and treat them in a way that they would never tolerate being treated. And that's the
you certainly see that in law enforcement and criminal justice quite a bit. And there's a lot of great people in law enforcement and criminal justice, but there's a lot of not so great people. And of course, a million variables, a million different shades of gray in between. But you do see, I mean, a lot of what you're describing, you see that a lot in that profession, you know. And I'm sure too that, you know, people don't start out that way most of the time, but you know, after you do a job like that for a long period of time, maybe, you know, some of those attitudes start to permeate, you know, from the outside, you know, because the thing is, in any profession, I'm sure that what you're talking about, it becomes a kind of a self-perpetuating thing, you know, where maybe someone goes into that profession not with that attitude at all. But then over time, they sort of fall into that because their colleagues, you know, really have that attitude. And then it just kind of spreads, you know.
Well, and I think that it, in some cases, it's a combination of stuff. You know that there are certain types that are just more bullish or bullyish by nature, and that part of and that they go into places. You know, I always say, you know, it's like you have this either one way or the other. You have like these people that go into teaching that love the kids and love teaching and love learning and love participating and do great classrooms, and you know, and there, and some of those are the ones that, you know, are taking money out of their own pockets for the supplies or making sure that all the kids in their classrooms eat, and they're true humanitarians and teachers, and they need to be respected and celebrated. But you also have some people that go into teaching because they want to be a mini dictator in a classroom that has no choice but to listen to them.
Right.
I've run across those teachers. I've come face to face, head to head with those teachers. I got face to face and head to head to them when I was in school, and I certainly came face to face and head to head with some of those teachers with all the work I did with ADD and ADHD and going into 504s and IEPs. So
wow.
You always have your true heroes that oftentimes are not getting represented or even compensated or supported the way they need to. But there is this, hey, it's my classroom. What I say goes. It's like that old fashioned, it's my house. It's the highway. It's my way or the highway. It's, yeah. You know, the you know, whether it, whoever it is, I think that we're finding that there is more of a pushback and that people are a little less willing to be victims. And I think that our current president is helping to facilitate some victims and some apathetic people to either wake up or speak out, because he's taking his bullying to such extremes that they can't even ignore it. You know, I call him the bully in chief.
Well, to be fair, though, I feel like I have to remind you, his wife, Melania, is, you know, she's got that whole anti-cyberbullying initiative. So, you know, that kind of balances things out a bit, right?
Yeah, no. But no, and I don't want to make this about, let's say, awful things about our president. I mean, that's just too easy.
right. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, really. But no, but this is more about, if there's something I could congratulate him on, I really do think he is getting people to speak out, take action, make a difference, that because he is just, because he is such a bully, because he is such a terror. Jimmy Kimmel the other day made fun of Melania's accent when she was reading Easter stories to the kids. And somebody online was saying, oh, that's so horrible and that's so inappropriate. And I agree. I didn't see the clip. If I saw the clip, maybe I'd have a different experience of it. But really, if the best you can do is make fun because somebody has a foreign accent, then you need to upgrade your script writers.
I would need to see the joke or hear the joke to make any judgment about that. But
that's why I said because the person talking, the person commenting said, oh, she's, intelligent and she speaks five languages. And all you can do is make fun of the fact of her accent. Of course, for years people have done that. But, I was thinking, okay, so somehow that's horrible and shouldn't be done. But him mocking somebody with a disability was okay. But it doesn't make what Jimmy Kimmel was just doing that, was going for the cheap shot. And I don't know. I haven't seen the clip. This just came across my feed before I got on air. But if Jimmy Kimmel was going for the cheap shot, basically making fun of somebody because they had a foreign accent and they were taking a cheap shot at her because her husband is some cross between a sociopath and a psychopath when it comes to immigrants. I'm not sure why. But we all know that he's mentally unhinged and he can't have a reasonable conversation about immigration. But taking pot shots at her, to me, that's not cool either. It doesn't make it right because he did it. You think it's okay for you to do it, to take a cheap shot like that? Yeah, no, that's not okay either. You stop being one of the good guys at that point. I mean, does that make sense?
I'm very hesitant to judge when it comes to humor. I'd have to see or hear the joke, but I don't, if it's humor, it's humor. I mean, I'm not someone who really makes a lot of judgments about that or in terms of what is okay or not okay to make fun of or, I mean, I have some sympathy for, Melania because, I think she looks terribly unhappy and I don't think she expected, not that being first lady isn't a great thing. Of course it is, but I don't think it's what she wanted. I mean, I know, right? Like, I have no idea really, but just from what I perceive, I tend to feel a lot of sympathy for her because she doesn't look like a happy person. But I don't know. I'm not really one to make, even if the joke is lame, she's a public figure. I mean, she's game. I wouldn't make that same judgment, I don't think, or at least I'd have to see the joke or hear the joke.
And that's why I keep on saying, if, I don't know. I like Jimmy Kimmel, but
yeah. Oh, I do.
One of my points here though, is that just because you're dealing with, just because Trump does it doesn't mean that it's still okay. If it's not okay for him to do it as president, what makes it okay for you to do it? Not against him. I think, as far as I'm concerned, there is no joke you could make at this moment that I can think of towards Trump that wouldn't be semi-accurate and well-deserved and that I would have an issue with. And if somebody can come up with one that is too tasteless and too horrifying, make sure you send it to me so I can say so after I stop laughing.
I don't think I quite agree, though, with what you're saying about if it's not okay for him to do it, it's not okay for someone else. Because I think the president of the United States, I think there should be a different standard. So I think that there are jokes that a late night comedian like Jimmy Kimmel should be perfectly free to make that I would not want the president of the United States to make. You know what I mean? Or to be speaking that way in general. Now, obviously, with Trump, all those rules are out the window. And with Trump, there are no rules, and Trump supporters don't care about rules. And they're fine with him the way that he is. But I wouldn't say that if it's not okay for Trump, it's not okay for Jimmy Kimmel, because Jimmy Kimmel's a late night comedian. His job is to be funny. Trump's job is to be president, not to be, you know, going on Twitter and making crass comments or making fun of people or any of the things he does. So I do think there's a different standard there. One that Trump will never meet, but
yeah. So let me reword what I said, because I realized from your response that I didn't word it well. What I was saying is, what I was talking about is, if people, and again, I love Jimmy Kimmel from what I've seen. I haven't seen the clip. I'm just trying to use this as a potential example. If you're horrified and say that it's completely inappropriate for Donald Trump, which Kimmel has said, and is something to make fun of people with disabilities, completely agree, to do some of this awful stuff, you know, say things, to say that it's awful, that it's not okay for him to do it, and it's lowbrow and it's low class, and yes, as a president, he should be at a higher standard. Make sure that doesn't lower your standard to take cheap shots that are no better, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what the shot is. So we're talking, if I could find the clip on the next break, I'll find it. If you want to try to find it, I don't know. It just came across. And what struck me is, you know, not that we can't lower ourselves to his level.
Right, right.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio. I'm here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Yay, Matt. You can listen to Matt Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, at a drive time show at 95.3 FM. You can find out more about Matt's show and how to listen to it and call in by coming to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, where you will see a blip about today's show and how to listen to Matt's show if you'd like to. And this is putting things through the spiritual lens. And be part of the conversation. Call in at 202-570-7057. The point I was trying to make, and I think I kind of got it musicked out, and then I want to move on to something else, was just we have to be careful because so much of what our bully in chief does is really, you know, it's really in the mud kind of stuff that we don't think that it's okay that we do the same back, is the point. Mm-hmm. We need to not let him create an environment where we lower ourselves to his standards, or we lower himself to his childish behavior. I don't think that's going to accomplish anything.
Right.
So does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you find the Kimmel clip? Because I didn't. I didn't.
No, I didn't either. I took a quick look, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah. And, you know, this was somebody who's a friend of mine who's a rabid Trump supporter. So, you know, anything that can be, you know, go forth. And, you know, and this is a, you know, a business owner and a college graduate and an intelligent woman. And she's completely drank the Kool-Aid. And I don't completely understand. But we choose not to fight about it because I refuse to lose a friendship over politics. so I just let those things go by the board. So have you had any interesting topics on Matt Carnerton Unleashed in the last few days? What's going on there? Fill us in.
Well, you know, there was breaking news this afternoon. Trump actually addressing for the first time to the media the Stormy Daniels controversy. He said on Air Force One to the – on Air Force One, he said to the press when asked, you know, if he knew anything about the payment – from Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels, the hush money, that he said he didn't know anything about it. So it's the first time he's ever actually said anything about it. I mean, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, of course, has talked about it, but that was the first time Trump had addressed it directly. But, I mean, again, this was on Air Force One. I guess he was kind of cornered. But, yeah, so that story is the story that just keeps on giving.
Yeah, and it's not over yet. I don't see her going away.
I do
think it's interesting that it has showed up that Rosenstein. I wanted to say Rodzenstein, yeah. And I knew that wasn't right, and I don't have it in front of me visually. That actually his memo came out that supported the fact that Mueller could go where he went, and it was sanctioned. And so all of this, oh, he's going crazy, seems to have simmered down a lot as this continues to go forward. Do you think that that's going to help us maybe get to the truth? Or do you think that that's just never going to happen?
No, I think, there's already been several indictments. So I think Mueller is just going to keep going. It was revealed that, he had communicated to Trump's lawyers, Trump is not currently a target, but is a subject of the investigation, which is really just one step below being a target. But Trump is not himself at this point, being investigated for any criminal activity, technically, although that could just be a ploy to try to get Trump to agree to sit down with Mueller, which Trump has said he was willing to do, but his lawyers don't want him doing that. His dwindling legal team would rather he not do that because it could be a perjury trap. But I think Mueller's going to get to the truth.
Are you inferring that our president may say something that is not 100% completely honest? Is that what you're inferring?
Yes. And he may not say something that is consistent either. You know, Trump contradicts himself quite a bit. I could imagine him in a conversation with Mueller saying several different things about in response to a particular question. You know, sometimes Trump kind of rambles. And, you know, who knows? I can see why it would be, if you're Donald Trump's attorney, I can see why it would be a nightmare, the idea of having Trump
sit down for an under oath conversation with Robert Mueller.
Well, I'm just horrified because I thought, I mean, just the other day, I thought people were saying that our president was above reproach. Maybe I misheard it. Maybe they said he was just barely above a cockroach. They sound similar.
There's many people who insist that he's above reproach. It's everyone who voted for him.
Yeah. So anyways, moving right along. Now we've had our 2 minutes of humor. Or potential humor, or attempted humor, I'm not sure which. So I saw something very interesting, which is, you know, we currently have several TV shows that have women as presidents.
We do?
Veep. Yep, Veep. The vice president, played by Julia Dreyfus, the president resigned and she became president.
Veep is fantastic. I haven't seen the recent seasons, but I saw the first couple of seasons, and that is a great show. Very, very funny.
House of Cards, Kevin Spacey
resigned
as president, and she went up. And there was two or three others. I saw a list. There's like five or six scandals. I think that the female vice president got elevated to president. But they listed four or five things, but they made a very interesting point, and I wanted to talk to you about it, which is that all of the current shows on TV that are representing women as presidents, none of them were elected. They all snuck through the back door of the vice president.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting that in some poll that they took prior to the 2016 election, only 4 out of 10 Americans said that they had any desire to see a female president in their lifetime. Now, I don't have access to who did the poll, where it came from.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, we don't have a single woman president being represented anywhere on media that was elected, which still sends the message out that women are not electable. They can be vice presidents,
you know,
they
funny.
Can be second bananas, but go ahead.
It's funny, growing up, I always thought, and I know other people have said this too, this isn't something unique to me, I always kind of assumed that we would have a female president before we would ever elect someone of color, you know, and then we elected Barack Obama in 2008. But I always thought that we would elect a woman first. And of course, we very nearly did. I mean, if Obama hadn't come along when he did, Hillary Clinton would have, I'm sure, been the Democratic nominee in 2008, and she very likely would have won the presidency. I think she certainly would have beaten John McCain handily. So, were it not for Obama, that's what I believe would have happened. But I have to be honest with you, though. It's not something I personally am overly concerned with. I don't tend to worry much about that because I just kind of figure, you know, I want the best person for the job, male or female. I certainly have no bias against the idea of a woman being president. I think it would be great, but it's not something I'm actively concerned about either. To be quite honest with you. I mean, because I think that most Americans probably, you know, in spite of that poll that you cited, I think most Americans probably are fine with the idea of a woman president, as long as it's a woman who represents, their party. I mean, you know, well, Hillary Clinton is kind of an outlier in the sense that a lot of Democrats don't like Hillary Clinton, didn't trust her, et cetera. But I think Democrats generally, you know, certainly they voted for her and not Trump. But I mean, Republicans, I've heard a lot of Republicans express, not recently, but back when she was McCain's VP pick in 2008. A lot of Republicans expressed great enthusiasm for the possibility of a Sarah Palin presidency.
You know, I think probably they changed their mind, many of them, at some point, because, again, not having anything to do with Sarah Palin being a woman, but probably because, you know, once you've heard Sarah Palin open her mouth and words come out, you begin to realize, I mean, she's almost like a Hooters waitress with learning disabilities. But I don't think that most partisans have any problem with the idea of a woman president at all, as long as it's someone who shares their ideology. I actually think we're kind of past that for the most part.
Well, you know, but there is a psychological truth that many of the most major shifts and changes towards more acceptance of people of color or different faiths or different orientations becoming more mainstream in that, you know, because you always have your early adopters and you have the, that goes all the way from early adopters to the when hell freezes overs. But it's that middle of the road that they don't know that they're for it. They don't know that they're against it. They try to stay open. But that group, and that's a very large number, you know, that's the 75% in between the lines number, or 70% in between the lines, whatever it is, get very influenced by what they see on TV and in the movie theaters, subtly or overtly. And so it is a kind of message. I mean, there was a lot more acceptance as you had more likable and more present gay figures. There was a lot more acceptance in that middle group about, yeah, well, you know, gay people aren't so bad. You know, who wouldn't want to have Will as a friend? You know,
right.
And, you know, so TV and movies, but especially TV, have a huge impact on how fast our society is shifting and changes its deeply dug in social mores. I mean, it isn't even been, I mean, it's just barely over 100 years since the women have got the right to vote.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I always think it was funny that there was a woman that was elected from Montana as a, I think it was a senator or a House of Rep or senator, but I think it was a senator, but she was elected from Montana before women could vote. There was a woman serving in Congress.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And she was from Montana.
Huh.
And she was from Montana and her family owned a large part of the state. And she, you know, she got elected because there was nothing prohibiting a woman running from office, only voting for it.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. So I would like to see in the upcoming season to have one major play out of successfully watching a woman get elected and doing a really great job as president. I think it would make a difference. I think that people would shift prejudices they don't even know that they have. Yes, I would like the best person for the job, but I think that there is a subtle prejudice that stops. Remember again, when I was on your show last time, that guy called in and I called him out because, you know, he didn't say Hillary Clinton. He said that ugly woman, but he would never have said that about a male candidate.
Oh yeah, Dave Ridley. Yeah.
Yeah. Yet he's supposed to be quote unquote one of the good guys. It's so
ingrained. Yeah, I remember being surprised actually that he said that because that's not what I would expect from him. That was certainly atypical of him, and I was taken aback when he said it. Not to the extent that you were, because you called him out on it. I just remember being a little bit surprised by it. But I think you were right to call him out.
Well, because if we don't call this stuff out, if we don't keep it in people's faces, it has a way of just, you know, sliming back into the corners and continuing on its merry journey because people don't think about it. people, you know, we have this. Yeah, well, it's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay. You know, but remember the last thing he said before he hung up? Well, they're just words. And I thought I was going to, you saw me, you thought I was going to go ballistic when he hung up and with that closing remark.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, excuse me? They're just words? What do you make your living doing? You know? So we got to call these things out, and we have to look at these things. And, you know, like I was saying before, that whole justice thing, Matt, about people pushing back, that's part of the Me Too stuff. I mean, that's another example. People are saying, just because you're a powerful guy in Hollywood doesn't mean you get to grope me.
Right.
That's the energy change I'm talking about. But it's not just Hollywood and people in power or celebrities that think they can get away with it because they're celebrities. But it's teachers and police officers and ministers and all of them. Matt, thanks for coming.
Dr. Kevin, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Give Jenny my love.
I will.